Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported, non-commercial radio, featuring local and independent artists.
The following program has been pre-recorded. The views expressed by the participants are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio or Henry Ford College. Welcome to We Are Not Alone. Where local investigators, as well as world-renowned scientists and ufologists, share the latest evidence in support of the UFO reality. David Twitchell, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn. WHFR.FM is the station making waves, and for the next hour, we will be exploring the mysteries of the UFO and abduction phenomenon. Kathleen Marden was on the show back in January of 2015. Kathleen is a leading UFO researcher, the author of several books, a featured on-camera commentator, and an international lecturer. She earned a BA degree in social work and worked as an educator and education services coordinator while attending graduate school. She is a practitioner of regression and QHHT hypnosis. Her interest in UFOs and contact began in 1961, when her aunt and uncle, Betty and Barney Hill, had a close encounter and subsequent abduction in New Hampshire's White Mountains. She has been MUFON's Director of Experiencer Research since 2011 and is on the board of directors of the Edgar Mitchell Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial and Extraordinary Encounters, or FREE, F-R-E-E. Her books are Captured, The Betty and Barney Hill UFO Experience, Science Was Wrong, and Fact, Fiction, and Flying Saucers with nuclear physicist Stanton T. Friedman, and Alien Abduction Files with Denise Stoner. Her fifth book, Extraterrestrial Contact, What to Do When You've Been Abducted, is slated for publication later this year. And she has given on-camera commentary on numerous TV shows and documentaries. And we're honored that she's accepted our invitation to join us again today. Welcome back, Kathleen.
Thank you. It's great to be back with you again.
Good to have you back. You were on the show back in 2015.
And yes, that's a long time ago.
I know. It doesn't seem like long.
Yeah.
So can I safely assume that much has happened in the world of UFOs since then?
Yes, absolutely.
So tell our listeners about that.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I have been extremely busy with MUFON's Experiencer Research Team. We are expanding. And we now have 34 members. Four of those are academic researchers. The others support experiencers on a day-to-day basis. We have grown and added people as the demand picked up. And so I guess experiencers now feel that MUFON is a safe place to go to if they need support or they just want to talk to a non-judgmental listener. Mm-hmm. Also, Don C. Don Jerry and I, and I have to say this is Dr. Don C. Don Jerry. He was a psychology professor and social researcher at McGill University for many years. He's retired now, but he and I collaborated on an experiencer study of 516 experiencers through MUFON to identify commonalities among experiencers and to identify who were the abductees as opposed to people who just believed that they had had contact. And so he administered the American Personality Inventory, which was designed to identify those who had actually been abducted. So this was a three-year study. And also I worked on another study with FREE, the Edgar Mitchell Foundation, and we had about 4,000 participants in that. It was just a straightforward questionnaire for experiencers, self-identified experiencers of all types of contact to participate in. And it's been extremely busy, I have to tell you, since I started with you. I've written Fact Fiction and Flying Saucers with Stanton. I have a new 30,000-word chapter in Beyond UFOs, The Science of Consciousness and Contact with Non-Human Intelligence by the Edgar Mitchell Foundation for research into extraterrestrial and extraordinary encounters. And my new book is going to be published soon. I will. It won't be in bookstores until September 1st, but I will have copies for sale on my website at kathleen-marden.com, and I will also have them at all of the conferences that I speak at over the summer. And there is a list of these conferences on my website.
So give us, first of all, I wanted to ask you, all of these people that you have interviewed or tested, trying to decide which ones were experiencers and which ones were not, what percentage, how many did you say, 5,000?
With the study that we did through MUFON with Dr. Don C. Don Dairy, we had 516 participants. We wanted it to be manageable.
Okay, yeah.
So we limited it. We were going to have 500, but we decided to do the 516 that we identified as being authentic questionnaires and not hoaxes. We had a way to identify the hoaxes.
Okay, so out of these 516, what percentage would you say did you decide were actually abductees?
Well, it was, what we did, let me explain this. Not all 516 went on to phase two of the study.
Oh, okay.
Phase two had only 175.
Okay.
And those 175 were tested by Dr. Don Dairy. Mm-hmm. And they were broken down into the general population of experiencers, those who were abductees, who met the criteria for being, of having these abduction experiences, and also those who were hoaxers or wannabes, and then people from the general public who decided that they would try to trick the exam, thinking that they could trick Dr. Don Dairy. So the vast majority of those 175 people were in the abductee range. We had maybe 10 or 15% who were in the other two categories. But something that we discovered is that there were not that many. There were maybe 30% who were clustered around the abductee blue dot on this chart, meaning that they had all of the characteristics of an abductee, whereas the others were scattered, some having more positive contact. And I have to say, the abductees did not have negative contact. They said that their contact was more positive and negative, more businesslike. But we found people who fit into the contactee category who were having more positive experiences. And on the other end, we had a few people who were having highly negative experiences, but they were not around the abductee target.
They weren't?
No.
Okay,
so,
did you find that, because I've heard this before as well, that all of these that are truly... all these individuals that are truly abductees or experiencers, whatever you want to call them, contactees, suffer from PTSD. Did you find that to be true?
That wasn't a question that we asked.
Mm-hmm. But in
the exam itself, there is an elevated level of anxiety.
Okay.
Among experiencers.
It would seem.
Abduction.
It would seem that either you or the good doctor would be able to tell this individual suffers from some degree of PTSD.
Yes, that wasn't a question that we asked.
No.
Yeah, but certainly Dr. Dondari would be able to know that answer, and if I had had a conversation with each of those 175 people, I would have been able to tell you who I believed suffered from PTSD.
Okay, so, yeah, so...
But I think,
go ahead.
You know, I have to tell you that today's experiencers are not as traumatized as they were many years ago.
Why do you feel that is?
I think that they understand now what is occurring. Researchers like myself have done a great deal of investigation and research on the alien abduction phenomenon. And this information has gone out to experiencers, and many people now feel that even though it has been frightening, there is a benevolent reason why they are being taken. They might have agreed to it before it happened, or they might discover that it's not as bad as they thought it was, but they didn't have memories of what happened, and by reading the books that were written years ago about how horrible it was and how these people are being taken advantage of, they would feel fearful. And perhaps develop post-traumatic stress disorder, even though the experience that they couldn't remember wasn't as bad as they thought it was.
So here's a question. How does one agree beforehand to an abduction?
You have to believe in past life.
Okay.
And Dolores Cannon, who was the founder of the quantum healing hypnosis technique that I have recently begun to use as part of my practice, did a great deal of research on past life regressions. And she also worked with experiencers. And she heard over and over again when she had hypnotized these experiencers into a past life that in the past life they had contact, or in that in-between state where they are ready to come back into another life, they had made an agreement to work with the Greys on a mutually agreeable project in order to expand human consciousness and spirituality and to bring about a change in the human species where the end goal would be to attempt to save this planet from the people on it who have very little respect for our environment and mm-hmm. have not been good caretakers of our environment. And another important message that these non-human entities have given to humans is their concern about nuclear war, that it could ruin or destroy our planet's environment.
Completely.
Yes, and it has happened before in other places. This is a beautiful planet, and they say that they would not want to see that occur here.
How do they plan on preventing that? Do you know, have they suggested that their captors have suggested something?
Well, yes, all of these people, and it tends to be generational, running in generations mm-hmm. of intergenerations of experiencers, they have DNA taken. The DNA is then used to produce a genetically altered fetus, and that genetically altered fetus is implanted in the human body, and the human mother and father are the parents of this child. Their DNA is there, but it is genetically altered. And what we are finding is that these children of experiencers, especially abductees, have special characteristics. They tend to be intelligent. They tend to be more mature than the average child. They are telepathic. They are empathic. They are psychic. And they just seem to be a kinder, gentler kind of species mm-hmm. than other children, which was pretty amazing to find on our study, according to the feedback we received.
Okay, but that still doesn't answer the question. How do they plan on going about this? Just these individuals will inherit the earth or whatever?
No, it's not that simple. That's one part of their project.
Okay.
The other part of their project is to impart this information to experiencers and ask experiencers to inform other people.
Mm-hmm.
They claim that they have attempted to give this message to government officials, and they have been ignored. I've done quite a bit of research dating back to 1954 on this and found evidence that the federal governments of the United States and Canada did communicate with these non-human intelligences
mm-hmm.
back then and were given these same messages. I wrote about it in my chapter in the book Beyond UFOs, The Science of Consciousness and Contact with Non-Human Intelligence. So this is one way that they have tried to impart that message. People like myself and other researchers have also been given this information, and not by just a few experiencers, by many, many experiencers. And we have been informed that this is extremely important to get this message out.
Mm-hmm.
And we are doing this,
yeah.
too, because we believe that it is an important message.
Mm. I have a friend, T.J. Ryan. He does a podcast in the UP, Michigan, and he likes to tease me that I am the alien reject, because my sister and I were abducted as children, and mm-hmm. she went on to. In fact, she has had experience before that and after all of her life, mm-hmm. and I recall a dream around that time, although we had missing time, where we saw the craft, we saw the onset of it, we were conscious of the onset of it and the aftermath, but no conscious memory in between. So I don't have any conscious memory of any other abductions or onset thereof. So TJ Ryan teases me that I am the alien reject. Well,
let me make you feel better.
Okay, thank you so much. I know what you're going to say. You don't want to be anyway, so.
No. Well, on our study, we discovered that 24% of the experiencers, all survey takers, believe they had been taken only once. When it came down to abductees, it was 10%. Mm. But apparently... you didn't have what they were looking for.
There you go. That's why I'm the reject, you see. But I believe that my job in this whole scheme of things is to supply a platform for people like you who do the actual research. Now, I may be a UFO researcher and investigator for MUFON. However, that's a very small part of it. My biggest part is to say, okay, let's see what Kathleen has accumulated in her research. See what Stanton Friedman. See what he's accumulated, and give him a platform to tell the world about this.
And that is extremely important. So you have a very important job.
Thank you so much.
So don't feel bad because you were taken on the
Listen, we don't need him. let him talk about it. We don't need him. But I do need to take a moment to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. That's 89.3 FM on your radio. And you are listening to We Are Not Alone. I'm David Twitchell. And we're speaking with researcher Kathleen Marden. And a very interesting topic here, the fact that I have a very important job just talking to Kathleen. Is that right, Kathleen?
That is correct.
Okay. Well, we'll look at it that way. Anyway, so give us a teaser about your new book coming out, Extraterrestrial Contact, What to Do When You Have Been Abducted.
Well, I think this book is long overdue.
Okay.
Because experiencers still are looking for answers. What is going on? What does the social research say? What kinds of experiencers are other people having? I've written three or four chapters on just the different types of experiences that people have. Also, how to investigate your own alien contact event, what to do, how to document it, and I think that's very important. We have a chapter on what to do if you want this to end. And a lot of people have said that they would like this to end, especially those people who believe that their contact experiences are negative.
Mm-hmm.
And so I devoted an entire chapter to helping these people to understand what is going on in their lives and what suggestions they can follow to attempt to make this end. There's a chapter on what to know if you want to go public, if you want to appear on your radio show, or if you want to write a book about this. We also asked three of my team members at MUFON's Experiencer Research Team to write a chapter. One of them is Madeline Tobias. And she was a psychotherapist. She's retired now, but she worked with people who were experiencing post-traumatic stress disorder during her professional career. She also worked with people who were involved in cults. So she wrote a chapter on that. We have Anne Castle. who actually wrote two chapters. Anne is on the team. She's a brilliant woman. She wrote a chapter on the stages that you go through as an experiencer, from denying that it is happening to finally accepting it and integrating it. She wrote another chapter because she is a psychic and works with police departments on psychic phenomena and the psychic phenomena that experiencers have in their lives. And then Denise Stoner, Anne and I cooperated on two chapters. And those were on the paranormal. One was on angels and demons versus ETs. And another one was just on paranormal events and how to separate the pure paranormal out from contact with extraterrestrials.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's going to be a book that is going to interest more than just experiencers. It's going to be published by Red Wheel Wiser, which is a very large publishing company.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that experiencers, their families, their friends, and anyone who is interested in the topic of extraterrestrial contact will be interested in this book.
Okay, you mentioned in the book how to make it end. I'm sure that we have listeners that that feel they're being abducted or have been abducted, and they want to know that. Can you give us a synopsis on that chapter, how to make it end?
Well, there are many suggestions. I think I put a dozen or more suggestions in on that list. Depending upon people's religious beliefs and also what they wanted to do. For those who are Christians and are having this happen in their lives, there is a website that they can go to, and it is run by two Christian men. One lives, I believe, in South Korea, and the other one lives in, I think he's in Texas, maybe. No, not Texas, New Mexico, I believe. He's usually at the Roswell UFO Festival.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a list of suggestions that they follow. They have a website, and it is called alienresistance.org. Their names are Joseph Jordan and Guy Malone, and they say that all you have to do is call out to Jesus, and this will that they will leave. And I think that any extraterrestrial who was a benevolent being, if you wanted them to leave, would do so. But if it's not really extraterrestrial and it's an interdimensional entity that has just come in, you can call out as well. If you don't believe, if you're not a believer in Jesus, say you're Jewish, then you can just call out to God. If you're an atheist, you can call out to the highest intelligence. It should work. So that's one example of something that has been useful to individuals. Now, I have to tell you a personal story.
Mm-hmm.
I had three women spending a long weekend with me, and we did some hypnosis in my bedroom, and I don't know what happened, but when this was over, that night, something started rapping on an armoire in my bedroom, and that had never happened before. And I got up. I was trying to investigate what was going on. My husband was hearing. It was really annoying us. We couldn't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got up. I gave it some attention, and boy, it really started rapping then. So I just said, in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, I command you to leave this room now. And it did.
Mm-hmm.
Not one rap.
It,
so if it's... Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it would seem that if it is malevolent, it would leave by the command of Jesus, but or any divine entity.
Yes.
But if it was a benevolent entity, why would it leave? Do you know what I'm saying?
Just out of respect for the experiencer who wants to end their contract.
So either way, right?
ETs. So it should, you know, you don't know what it is for certain. You say that. And then, you know, if it doesn't leave, you could just say, I want to end my contract. I don't want this to continue.
Yeah.
And send telepathic messages, too. It doesn't have to be out loud. I would send telepathic messages several times a day because they know what's going on. Those implants do more than just act as a tracking device.
Uh-huh.
The implants help with communication.
Mm-hmm.
They can listen to what's going on. I believe that they also help with the ETs and assessing the health of the human body. And if there is a problem, a major problem, they have been known upon request to heal experiencers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that before, and I've heard some pretty miraculous stories anyway. I don't know how true they are, but that ET can heal. And then there's others that, you know, crippling arthritis, and they're allegedly abductees or experiencers, and ET just doesn't want to help them with that, you know?
I just had one of those experiencers
mm-hmm.
who was at a group experience. She was actually a paranormal investigator
mm-hmm.
and ended up being abducted by human-looking entities
mm-hmm.
Who were actually non-humans. And something happened. She thought that maybe she was too close to the source of energy on that craft. But two of those experiencers out of three came down with rheumatoid arthritis not long after that event.
Mm-hmm.
She came to me as an experiencer for hypnosis on her event, but also using quantum healing hypnosis, that technique. You visit the higher self. You ask to speak to the consciousness or the soul of that individual, and you ask for healing. I asked for healing for her, and she wrote to me a week later and said she'd had no pain. She wrote to me 2 weeks later and told me she was able to engage in activity for a full day without pain. So apparently some healing came as a result of that.
Okay, so this QHHT is quantum healing hypnosis technique, right?
That's correct.
And once again, tell our listeners about this process, speaking to your own inner self or a higher power. What is it?
Yes, it was very interesting. Dolores Cannon developed this over many, many years of doing hypnosis and experimenting with it. She was a past life regressionist. And what she discovered is that if you do her induction, you have to do it exactly. And it's just a really beautiful and relaxing induction. Then you go to the past lives, you go through that, and you ask the person to come to the session with 10 to 15 questions to ask the higher self, and also healing requests. And so you bring the person back into their own body after they have experienced these past lives. And then you ask to speak to what Dolores called the subconscious, but it's not the subconscious mind as we think of it.
Mm.
It's really the higher self. And you ask the questions, and you get answers. The person speaks in the third person. to you, and then you ask to have healing of that person. You go part by part on that person, depending upon what they want to have healed. So I like to do a body scan of the person, going through all the parts of the body and asking for healing, asking for any blockages to be removed, and for asking healing of all of the cells in that part of the body. And it's amazing how well this has worked. So I don't know if it's the person's real subconscious mind or what it is. I can only tell you that it has worked for many people.
And you've been privy to the to these experiences, eh?
Yes. Yeah. I've hypnotized these people.
Yeah. It sounds like something that sounds like the technique that Edgar Cayce used to perform. Am I right?
Maybe it is. I don't know.
You're familiar with Edgar Cayce?
I'm familiar with him, but I didn't know that he did that type of healing.
Well, it's just that, yeah, he had this, this guide, I guess you'd call him. And the guide would come in while he was in trance and speak through Cayce and tell the individual that he was reading what was wrong with, you know, physically, and how to heal it. And if the person followed his instructions, I guess they always were healed.
Well, I knew that Cayce would tell people to take certain vitamins or eat certain things, but we don't do that in using the QHHT method. It is done in a session where this person is lying in an office, in a bed, in hypnosis, and I, as proxy for that individual, ask the higher self to heal that person and go through the healing requests that that person has made. There are no hands on, no, or laid on the individual. I don't use Reiki or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It is just that request. I had an amazing experience with a woman that I worked with. She was from Belize. And this was during my master level training for QHHT hypnosis. And she had many things wrong in her abdominal region. And she had was lying on a bed. She had a sheet over her, and her arms were down to the side. And as the subconscious, if you want to call it that, the higher self was speaking through her, I could actually see what looked like fingers moving under the sheets. It was, I mean, I wish I'd had my camera there or my cell phone, but I'd turn the cell phone off so that we wouldn't be disturbed. I would have loved to have a recorded video of what was going on. I was amazed.
Well, could you duplicate that again? I mean, you know.
Well, I've tried, but it didn't happen with other people that I've worked with. I'm hoping that I will see it again, but who, you know, I wouldn't know to keep a camera with me or by my side.
Yeah.
Just in case.
So you don't videotape these sessions?
I audio record every session,
okay.
And everyone goes home with the audio recording.
Over there. Okay. Once again, I have to take a moment just to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You're listening to We Are Not Alone. I'm David Twitchell, and we're speaking with author and researcher and hypnotist, Kathleen Marden. Kathleen. And once again, well, okay, we were talking about something. Oh, I was going to ask you about, you mentioned angels and demons.
Yeah.
Angels and demons. So many people, like mostly fundamentalist Christians, say, accept the fact that we are not alone, the UFO phenomenon, alien abduction, etc., but they're demons. They're all demons, fallen angels. How would you answer them?
I've been told that many, many times, and my answer is some of them are.
Uh-huh.
I work with people all of the time. My team works with individuals who believe that they are being abducted or taken, and they're not being taken by extraterrestrials. The stories that they tell are completely different. These are not scientists who are taking them. They are having absolutely horrific experiences.
Give us an example.
Oh, well.
Oh. Is this fit for public radio?
Part of it is. There's okay. Part of it I can't even tell you about on public radio.
Oh, my.
But, you know, they are being pinched. They are hearing these voices. Their minds are being controlled by these negative entities, so that when they close their eyes, they go to bed at night, their life is a living nightmare. They're being tortured. They're being forced into sex acts. They're being raped. They will come back beaten up, black and blue, like something really did happen to them. But these are not extraterrestrial scientists doing this. They're taunted. They're held upside down by the legs. It's just horrible. It's by entities who feed off human fear and hatred, and they will attach to people who are vibrating at a lower frequency. Mm-hmm. Than if you have a higher vibrational frequency, they cannot attach to you. So in order to stop this from happening, first of all, it's a good idea to bring a shaman in or a demonologist who specializes in removing these entities, or a minister or a priest who specializes in this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. There's even a paranormal clergy. And so they would have to work on removing this. But what the person needs to do to stop it from happening is to engage in exercises that will raise their vibrational frequency, such as meditation, such as refusing to speak maliciously, refusing to engage in aggressive activities, to project love. I tell people, if you have these entities come into your room, send love to them. It's going to send them running. And Shane Serwa, who is a shaman, and what he has suggested is, and I'm quoting him here, he said, with parasitic entities, it is important to eliminate these three things from the equation: fear, lowered emotional state, and attention to the entity and activity. He said, even if you are fearful, project love. Meditate to gain control over your emotions. Ignore the entity or send love to it. Negative entities feed off fear and a lowered emotional state. You have to work on yourself before they will leave you alone. Once those things are removed, the entity disappears. Also, once those things are removed, we are in an elevated emotional frequency, and that breaks the connection. He said it's almost like two-way radios. They only work if they are on the same frequency as you.
Right, right. And it sounds like some of these shows on haunted houses, where it's not just haunted by a deceased loved one or something, but seemingly a demon, some entity that is very malicious.
Yes.
And so is this Is this the same thing? Is this what it is? Is it a haunting by a demon? Is it extraterrestrial?
It could be. We call them demons. They could be just human spirits who were just really bad people.
Bad people.
Yes.
And they're continuing to do their thing.
They're continuing with those activities by attaching to humans and wreaking havoc in their lives. So, but they can't attach to anybody. They can only attach to people who have this lowered emotional state and vibrational frequency.
So I guess
these are not extraterrestrials.
They're not extraterrestrials.
Extraterrestrials behave like scientists.
Okay. Okay, so now we're talking. Now we're talking over here. We're talking about extraterrestrials versus spiritual demons, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So if you're experiencing these demons or evil entities, actually you're not. If I'm hearing you right, you're not a alien contactee. You're haunted by a spiritual demon, correct?
Yes, and these demons from our negative entities, parasitic entities from the astral realm, can masquerade as extraterrestrials.
Ah.
They will try to look like them, but they don't look exactly like them.
Okay.
So there's confusion there as well.
Okay, because I've had people say to me, personally, who claim to be abductees, you know, first, you know, some say they're very benevolent people. It's I feel like I'm part of a higher calling here, and others say, oh, they're terrible. They're terrible people or terrible entities, and they're just mean. And well, maybe they're not abductees after all.
Well, if they're talking about interacting with the greys and being taken to a craft, fear also has a strong impact. The human emotional experience has a strong impact on one's interpretation of what is occurring as well. So if you are lying on a table and these greys are extracting semen from you or ova from you, and it's causing pain and it's causing anguish, then, and you don't know that you've made a contract with them somewhere along the line, or maybe you haven't, you might interpret that as being extremely negative. There are some people who say all contact with greys is negative, and those who think that it's positive are simply suffering from Stockholm syndrome. They've been brainwashed.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that. I've had the opportunity to follow this all along the way, from not knowing what is happening and feeling greatly fearful and even having post-traumatic stress disorder, to the point where people are actually investigating what is going on in their lives and talking to others about it, to hypnosis, where they might be told, we love you, you're part of our family, we have no intention of harming you, you're helping us, and that sort of thing. And eventually they transform. So if somebody in their 20s, for example, was extremely fearful and they thought that this was the most horrible thing that ever happened to them, they might now be in their 60s, and they're saying, it wasn't as bad after all.
kind of got used to it after a while. Kind of looking forward to it, yeah.
Yeah, and some people are disappointed that it's not happening anymore.
I know. I've heard that, too. So.
Yeah.
And have you ever had your own personal abduction experience?
Well, that's something I have written about in my new book. So the answer is yes, this is generational. It happened to my Aunt Betty Hill, my mother, myself, and I did have that highly negative emotional response in the beginning when I became aware of what was going on and that I couldn't control it. But now I'm one of those people, older people, who feels fine with it, and I look back on it as saying, well, you know, it was only once or twice a year, a couple of hours out of that time, and it was for an important reason. It wasn't so bad after all.
How old were you when it first happened?
I'm consciously aware of it first happening when I was 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Under hypnosis, I said I was 3. So I don't know for certain. You know, you can confabulate under hypnosis, or it could be the truth, but I question that.
You question that?
I question if it occurred when I was younger.
Okay.
I know that the majority of experiencers are taken for the first time when they're less than 20 years old.
Right, right. When they're very small.
Yes.
So age 3 would not be out of the question, would it?
No, it wouldn't. Quite a few, like 37% of experiencers have been taken when they were 2, 3, 4 years old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it was an ongoing thing with you.
It was an ongoing thing, and it was more frequent when I was in my late 20s to early 30s, and then it just sort of dropped off over time.
Under hypnosis, did you recall a past life where you agreed to such a thing?
Yes, I did.
Can you tell us about that?
Well, I had had contact in a past life, and when I was coming into this lifetime, I made the decision that I would agree to work with them for the benefit of humanity.
No, it's as simple as that.
Yeah. It was as simple as that.
Do you recall who you were in a past life? Were you a earthling or a extraterrestrial?
Well, I've been both in past lives. I've had many past life regressions.
Most of us have.
Yes.
Had past lives.
Uh-huh.
Most of us. In fact, I would venture to say all of us, although there are souls that have never been inside a human body before, but...
Yes, in fact, I've worked with people who claim they're here for the first time, that they didn't have a past life. During my training, when you do your training to do past life hypnosis and QHHT hypnosis, you are the hypnotic subject many, many times, too, during the practice session. So that's the reason that I've had many past life regressions.
So you are an old soul.
Yes, yes.
I've been told
thousands of years.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I've been told that I'm an old soul, and I don't know if that's a compliment or insult or what.
It is a compliment. It is a compliment.
I guess I should know better than you, especially as a teenager. You know, you're an old soul, Dave. You should have known better. Yeah, but I'm male,
well,
you know, a male teenager. What the heck?
All teenagers are immature. You have to learn life lessons. So you always go into the next lifetime with lessons and goals.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to learn those lessons along the way.
Right. Oh, yeah, certainly. All over again, because the physical brain is a blank slate when you first come in.
Mm-hmm.
But you always have those memories from before, way back in the way back of your mind, you know.
Yes. Yep.
My wife used to say in the way back.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, your book. I've got to, I want to read that book.
Well, it's going to be available on my website at about the middle to end of May. And I'm going to have it with me at Contact in the Desert at the end of May. I'll have it with me at AlienCon in Los Angeles, June 21st through 23rd. Roswell, the UFO festival there over the July 4th weekend. MUFON Symposium, the last weekend in July. Alien Expo in Knoxville, Tennessee, in the middle of August, August 17 and 18. The Exeter UFO Festival in Exeter, New Hampshire, over Labor Day weekend. And the International UFO Congress Conference, which starts just following the Labor Day weekend, in the first week in September.
And you're speaking at all of these events?
Yes.
My goodness, you're busy, aren't you?
I get around. I'm very, very busy.
You get around, I guess so. And this ERT, Experiencer Research Team, is that the that's separate from FREE?
Yes, the ERT is under MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, and I'm their Director of Experiencer Research. Mm-hmm. Dr. George Matich is the Assistant Director, and we have the Experiencer Research Team, that, and we work with experiencers. We even have now ERT-S, meaning specialists in investigating abduction reports. Mm-hmm. So our people know a lot about it. They can do the investigation, and they can also give support. Or they can work with an investigator in any state upon request, and also give support to the experiencer.
So if someone wanted to be hypnotized and see if they are truly an abductee or if they've had past lives, where do they go?
Well, we have a list of vetted hypnotists, hypnotherapists, psychotherapists. We have a list of support groups for referrals. So if you want to talk to a member of the ERT, go to MUFON.com, M-U-F-O-N.com. Scroll down to Experience or Research Team, Learn More. Click on that, and then you will find the Experience or Research Team. At the top, it says complete the questionnaire. Click on that, and then fill out the 30-question questionnaire, and a member of the team will get in touch with you. Mm-hmm. If you want an abduction investigation, MUFON's case management system is now set up so that you can report an abduction, and you can also request support at the same time. So both teams are working together now, the investigative team and the support team, and this is something new. We've just implemented this.
And your website again?
My website is Kathleen with a K, dash Marden, M-A-R-D-E-N, .com.
Very simple to remember then.
Yes.
Kathleen, I appreciate so much you joining us today.
Well, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me back.
I hope we can do it again.
I do too.
Very good. Thanks again.
Okay.
And if our listeners have any questions or comments for me, you can email me at dtwitchell@hotmail.com. And this show, as well as all the forum shows, is now archived at whfr.fm's website. Click on Talk Shows on the homepage, then Tuesday Forum. We Are Not Alone is also archived at my website, which is ufoimplications.com. So please stay tuned to WHFR.FM, the station making waves, for the best in alternative programming. And I want to thank you for joining us today. Please join us again the first Tuesday of each month at 12 noon when we will again explore the mysteries of the UFO phenomenon. Until then, this is David Twitchell reminding you to keep an eye on the sky.
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
And dolls, you are at the malt shop with Daddy G. And we're going back to the 50s and the 60s. So hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror, grab your favorite squeeze, and head on down to the malt shop, where the jukebox is playing and the kids are dancing. And here we are, back in the 50s.